They didn't want God to rule over them. So they told Samuel in 1 Samuel chapter 8, verse 7, says, "And the Lord said unto Samuel, Hearken unto the voice of the people, and all that they say unto thee. For they have not rejected thee, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them." So everything was fine, moving along just like God wanted, until one day they just said, "You know what? We're tired of this God. You know, we want a person that we could point to, you know, so make us a king." Then when Christ came, Israel's Messiah, they rejected their real king and had him crucified. Now during the wrath of God, Israel will be subjected to 7 years of a king they will accept, which is the Antichrist, according to 1 Samuel 8, 10 through 18. So then there's false peace. At this time in history, Israel's waiting for their Messiah, who they expect to establish their kingdom on earth. The Old Testament promised Israel a king and a kingdom, according to 2 Samuel 7, 4 through 17, and many more. So now turn to Matthew chapter 10, if you will. I think this we actually have to do. I think back to when Davin and Allison wanted to have us go through the Bible and turn the pages of the book, you know, instead of just putting them up on the screen. But there's some people that just don't want to do that and show up, and so I do them both, I guess. I mix them up, put some verses on the screen, and some I make you chase down. But in Matthew 10, beginning in verse 5, he says, "The 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, Go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, preach, saying, The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely ye have received, so freely give. Provide neither gold nor silver nor copper in your purses, nor a bag for your journey, neither two coats, neither shoes, nor yet a staff, for the workman is worthy of his food." So Jesus gives them a command to go out and start witnessing. Go tell people. Give them the gospel. But they rejected their king, Jesus Christ, and had him crucified. Once again, Israel rejected their king to rule over them. And in 1 Samuel 8, 18, he says, "And ye shall cry out in that day because of your king, which ye shall have chosen you, and the Lord will not hear you in that day." So this is prophetic. It hasn't happened yet, but that's what they're going to feel. And they're going to, you know, what day is that? That would be the 7-year tribulation. Yep. Well, they're going to cry, all right, but that's exactly what they asked for. So the Lord says, "You asked for it, you got it. Enjoy." Future king of Israel will accept as their Messiah. They have already chosen, but they don't even know it. He's called the Prince that shall come. Turn to Daniel chapter 9, verse 26 and 27. Right after Ezekiel. Daniel 9, 26 and 27 says, "And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself, and the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end of it shall be with a flood." You know what flood is that? I think that's the flood of the blood coming up to the horse's bridle, in my opinion.
Oh, in the Megiddo?
Yeah.
Ooh, fun times.
"And unto the end of the war, desolations are determined. And he shall confirm the covenant with man for 1 week, and in the midst of the week shall he cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate, even unto the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate." So they're going to get what they asked for. What else is he called? Another name for him is the man of sin and the son of perdition. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 says, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there be a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. That happens directly in the middle of the tribulation. He's also called two verses later, the wicked one. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 verse 8 says, and then shall that wicked one be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. That's when Christ comes back to the earth with us. Something else to notice in that verse, Satan gets destroyed by the Christ's mouth at the brightness of his coming when Christ returns with us at the end of the 7 years. 1 John 2:18 says, little children, this is the last time, as ye have heard, that Antichrist shall come. Even now there are many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time, and we are living in the last time, you think?
Oh, yeah.
And what else is he called? Revelation 13, 1 through 10 says, or the first verse says, and I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea. That's the sea of humanity. Yep. Having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. Today our society is hoping for a peaceful world. They want world peace. Israel keeps trying to establish peace with the Arabs. It will not happen in this present age. The tribulation will begin with the Antichrist being accepted by Israel as their long-awaited Messiah. He's going to offer Israel and the world the peace that they've been looking for. Turn back to Ezekiel chapter 7. Turn back left to from Daniel. Verse 25. Ezekiel 7 verse 25. The temple to be profaned by Babylonians. Destruction cometh, and they shall seek peace, and there shall be none. So, really it's all of Ezekiel 7. It's the destruction that was brought upon Israel from the Babylonians. And Daniel 11, 21 and 24 say this, and in his estate shall stand up a vile person to whom they shall not give the honor of their kingdom, but he shall come in peaceably and obtain the kingdom by flatteries. So he's going to come in there speaking really nice words and everyone's going to buy it. And Daniel 11:24 says, he shall enter peaceably, even upon the fattest places of the province. And he shall do that which his fathers have not done, nor his father's fathers. He shall scatter among them the prey and spoil and riches. Yea, and he shall forecast his devices against the strongholds, even for a time. Sounds like a socialism verse to me. Doesn't it? He shall scatter among them the prey and the spoil and the riches. Right? Yeah. He's going to spread out all the money, you know, and everyone's going to be with their hands out going, we love you. So I think it's just,
He's, they just don't want to work that week.
Yeah, just right. Got their hands out. When the tribulation begins, the first of the 7 seals will be opened, and we see a rider on a white horse. And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder and of the 4 beasts saying, come and see. And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. Revelation 6, 1 and 2. That will be symbolic of the Antichrist as he offers peace to the world. So for when they shall say, peace and safety, then cometh the sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. 1 Thessalonians 5:3 says, it is written, there is no escaping the prophetic clock of God. It has been written in the Word of God, the Bible. When the church age ends, every saved come upon the born again. Every child of God will receive their new bodies at one time. They will leave this earth and join the Lord Jesus Christ in heaven for eternity. The world will be left with those who reject the gospel and will be faced with 7 years of the wrath of God, the tribulation, and the ruler of this world, the Antichrist, whom they wanted. 3.5 years. During the first 3.5 years of the tribulation, the first 6 seals of the 7-sealed scroll will be opened, according to Revelation 5:1-8. In verse 1, it says, "And I saw the right hand of him that sat on the throne, a book written within and on the backside, sealed with 7 seals. Chapter 6 tells you what the 7 seals are made up of. Number 1, false peace in verses 1 and 2. Number 2, in the next two verses, war. And then famine and death and then natural disasters. So this is what happens when those 7 seals get opened. The world's going to be cast into chaotic condition. And you think the world's chaotic now? During the first 3.5 years, 144,000 male Jews will be sealed, obviously with the Holy Spirit, in order to witness for the gospel of Christ, according to Revelation 7:1-8 and Revelation 14:1-5. Also, there will be 2 witnesses who will preach the gospel, and the Antichrist will have them killed. And then after 3.5 days, they will have a miraculous resurrection.
CNN will be covering that one, right?
Yeah. That'll be Facebook Live on Revelation 11:3-14. And man, that's going
to
be
cool. Think about it, man. The whole world's going to see this. Look at the technology. Everybody's going to be able to see this stuff getting videoed. Yep.
But you know what I believe is going to happen too at the same time?
Yeah.
Just because now, I don't know if you've seen, now with AI.
AI is ridiculous. You can't tell. They're going to say it's fake.
They're going to say it's fake. Because they've got like, they had somebody on the radio talking about a news desk. They put 2 phony characters up there.
Kind of like now?
They look like real people, but they're completely phony. And AI's gotten so good, they took away the mannerisms of, you know, the little jerks and tweaks and stuff that a computer would, oh, I can tell that that's phony. You couldn't tell. And they put the current news in there and then told AI to go and do it. They had a completely, perfectly flowing newscast with the current today's conditions of weather, news, sports, everything. And AI did it, and you couldn't tell that they weren't real.
It's evil. It's so straight up evil.
That's what we have today. So that's what's going. So they're gonna call it false. And also, they could propagate anything they want to at that point. AI doesn't sleep. It could run constant, nonstop news feeds of everything that we're doing is bad, and everything that Democrats are doing is great, and so on.
Of course.
So. It's off the chain now.
The sensible people aren't going to buy into it, though. That's the thing.
Right. Yeah, just, and at all, you go back to, what do you put your faith and trust in? Thank God I'm a Christian.
They're going to use when the rapture happens. See, look, aliens do exist. I mean,
right.
Yeah, see the aliens.
Aliens abducted everybody.
And then there's people that know that were witness to, like, oh, they were right, and I'll put my head now.
Some of them. Yeah, right. Yeah, don't take the mark of the beast.
Don't do it.
The temple is also going to be rebuilt in Jerusalem, according to Revelation 11:1-2. And the reason for that is that the Jews are thinking that they'd like to have the temple ready for their long-awaited Messiah to sit in it when he comes. Well, he will. That is, the Antichrist will sit in the temple, claiming to be God, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he, as God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God, according to 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 4. Note, the Bible uses Jewish time in Revelation. 3.5 years equals 42 months of 30 days per month. So that's how they get 1,260 days when you read your Bible. They're counting every month as 30 days, so there's no, you know, 28, 20, 30, 31. So, therefore, the temple will be built in 1,260 days from the rapture. complete. 3.5 years during the first half of the tribulation. The last 3.5 years, at the beginning of the last 3.5 years, there's war in heaven, or the heavens. Satan and his angels are cast out of the heavens into the earth. This is only logical because in the middle of the 7 years, Satan will literally indwell the Antichrist. He cannot be everywhere at all times like God, according to Revelation 12, 7 through 12, and Revelation 13, 1 through 10. At this time, the Antichrist is called the Beast, a name also given to Satan, Revelation 13, 1 through 4. And in Revelation 12, 12, he says, "Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe unto the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time." So he's sent down. He indwells the person, you know, the Antichrist indwells the man right in the middle of the tribulation, and he's got a short time, and that short time is how long? 3.5 years, right? So the events during the last half of the tribulation will be rapid and devastating for all humanity. The gospel will be preached, but few will listen. Those who hear and believe the gospel will be subject to beheading. The Antichrist will take control of all of the monetary systems and instill the mark of the beast, the number 666. The seventh seal is opened at the beginning of the last half of the wrath of God. It's made up of seven trumpet judgments, and then there are seven thunders and seven vials of judgment that are recorded for you in the beginning, beginning in Revelation 8:1 and continue on through Revelation 10:7. Seven vials or bowls of wrath will be painful beyond measure. And you can read about those beginning in Revelation 15 through Revelation 16:21. The gospel, Babylon, Armageddon, in Bible prophecy and throughout history, these three things become very clear. The truth, the simple gospel is proclaimed throughout the Bible. God clothed Adam and Eve with coats of skin. An animal had to shed its blood in order to clothe Adam and Eve. This is a clear type of the blood of Christ being shed for the world. It is called the promise of a Savior. Abel's offering to the Lord was made by the shed blood of an animal. And Abraham and all the Old Testament prophets looked forward to their coming Savior. And the lie is that the line is founded on four little words. Yea, hath God said. Throughout history, Satan has founded his worldly kingdoms on these four words. His first kingdom was at Babel under Nimrod. It was a kingdom of false religion mingled with the kingdom of Satan, which is the Antichrist mentality. bamboo, yeah. Babylon became the origin of nations known as Chaldea. The religious lie is that it is not enough to have faith in the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ for the forgiveness of sins, period. The judgment of God and those who hold the truth in contempt. The truth is that faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ is all we need for the forgiveness of sin and eternal life. Jesus Christ said, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me." John 14:6, and many other places. But Babylon in the Bible is symbolic of being captive in false religion. So false religion is a lie that denies the truth. In the last half of the 7-year tribulation, we see all three of these things become evident. In the middle of the 7 years, the beast, who will be indwelt by Satan, will seem to die and have a miraculous resurrection, according to Revelation 13. And then a second beast appears who seems to have miraculous powers, also Revelation 13. This is an imitation of the Trinity. However, it's an unholy trinity. It's Satan, the first beast, and the second beast. And Revelation 12:12 says, in the last part, it says, "For the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth he hath but a short time." And Revelation 13:5 says, "And power was given unto him to continue 42 months, or 3.5 years. And the truth... He says, and I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having an everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell in the earth, and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people. Humanity will be given one last chance to hear and believe the gospel, the truth, during the last half of the 7 years of the wrath of God. Revelation 14:8 says, and there followed another angel, saying, Babylon is fallen, that great city, because she hath made all the nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. And great Babylon came in remembrance before God to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. Babylon is simply false religion mingled with the kingdoms against God. And then God's wrath upon false religion. He had John write a good chunk of Revelation, including chapters 14, 16, 17, and 18, to show his wrath upon Babylon. The prophecy against Babylon is also found in the Old Testament, and some of it is almost word for word as Revelation. You could look at Isaiah 13, 1 through 22, 21, verse 9, with Jeremiah chapters 50 and 51. And then divine judgment. Throughout history, God has brought judgment against humanity. The judgment's almost always based on man rejecting the God of the Bible and his plan of salvation, which is based on four words. The God of the Bible says, thus saith the Lord. And so Satan turns it around and says, yea, hath God said. The most grievous sin a man can commit against God is calling him a liar. Mankind has erected statues, monuments, relics, and to false gods, and God calls them idols, and this will come to an end someday. Concerning God's judgment against Babylon, he states, and I will punish Bel in Babylon, and I will bring forth out of his mouth that which he hath swallowed up, and the nations shall not flow together any more unto him. Yea, the wall of Babylon shall fall. In Jeremiah 51, verse 44. And 8 verses later, he says, wherefore, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will do judgment upon her graven images, and through all her land the wounded shall groan. But they're asking for it. And at the end of the 7-year tribulation, God will put an end to Babylon. That's false religion. When he does, he'll gather the nations to the battle of Armageddon, as recorded in Revelation 16, 10 through 21. And the word Armageddon is only used one time in the Bible. The armies of the world that reject the God of the Bible will gather together at the Valley of Megiddo in Israel to do battle with the Lord at the end of the 7 years. And you can read about that in Revelation 16, Joel 2 and 3, Zechariah 12, and Matthew 24 and 25. In reality, this will not be a battle at all. Christ will come out of heaven on a white horse along with all the saints who are with him in heaven and simply speak his word, which is called the sword of the Lord, according to Revelation 19, 11 through 16. And at this time, everyone who has rejected the gospel of Christ and followed the lie of Satan will be cast directly into the lake of fire, which is the final abode of all the lost. It's also interesting to note that Satan will send his angels or demons into those who gather to do battle against Christ. Revelation 16, verse 13 and 14 says, and I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon and out of the mouth of the beast and out of the mouth of the false prophet. For they are the spirits of devils working miracles, which go forth into the kings of the earth and the whole world to gather them to do battle of that great day of God Almighty. So it's kind of funny. Like, that's literally, like, he's telling you right there what's going to happen. And you can picture it. I mean, it's out of the mouth. In other words, he's commanding them, go and do this. And those people are indwelt by those demons. And they go and do exactly what he tells them to do. And they're going to go up and... What's interesting to me is they know the Bible. They know the end of it, and they know they are. So what do? Just walking into the meat grinder. They know they're going to get slaughtered, but they can't help it. So I guess this is, you know what they're going to do? They're going to get their last licks in. That's what they're going to try and do.
It must be so twisted to where it's just...
Yeah, there's nothing he can do about it. Therefore, we have what is called the judgment of the nations. Imagine that Jesus Christ just speaks his word, and the armies that follow the Antichrist will be destroyed. The blood of those gathered there will be as deep as the horse's bridles. Kim, how tall is the horse's bridle? You're a horse person. How high off the ground is that? Is that like the bottom of the hair? What is the bridle?
Isn't the bridle on the face?
Yeah.
The bridle is literally it's up to the mouth. So it's got to be almost up to 6 feet tall.
Be drinking blood.
So
think about it.
Yeah, can you imagine? Yeah.
After that blood dries up,
that much blood.
Smell like?
Well, yeah.
All the iron.
So, yeah, God said it right there in Revelation. You can read it for yourself. Revelation 14 through 20, and it's going to happen, and we're going to be there to see it. The devil's doom. After Armageddon, when the nations are judged and cast into the eternal lake of fire, so also will the beast and the false prophet be cast alive into the lake of fire. And then Satan will be chained in a bottomless pit for the duration of the 1,000-year reign of Christ. So we're back here for 1,000 years. Satan's held in chains for 1,000 years in a bottomless pit. And remember, because he knew that he had but a short time, 3.5 years. So he's going to go out there and raise hell during the last half. But and he's going to be loosed for a short time and deceive a multitude who will follow him to their final destruction, according to Revelation 20, 1 through 3 and 7 through 10. The final judgment, the second death. I was asked about this not long ago. There's a second death. You know, that's your first physical death, and that's the second death would be the judgment. That's the Great White Throne Judgment. But finally, all humanity throughout history that has rejected the truth and believes Satan's lie will be gathered at the Great White Throne Judgment of Jesus Christ the Lord. Revelation 20, 11 through 14. This is called the Second Death, and Jude called it twice dead in verse 12. They will be given their new bodies, so they're going to be the people that have died. Their spirits and their souls will be rejoined with their new glorified bodies just to be cast into the lake of fire for all eternity, which will be able to withstand all the torment of the heat and the fire and everything that they're going to, you know, for all time and eternity. How sad. And all they had to do was put their faith in Christ. The completion of prophecy. So at the White Throne Judgment, the heavens and earth will be cleansed by fire. And the new heavens and the new earth will be brought into place, according to 2 Peter 3, 10 through 14, and Revelation 21, 1 through 21. And then all prophecy will then be complete. In summary, there is no prophecy for the church age, which is right now what we're in, which began on the day of the Jewish Feast of Pentecost. And it's going to end with the rapture. So that's the very next thing on God's timetable. There's nothing else going to happen except for you and I preaching the gospel, which is what we are commanded to do. The events recorded in the gospels are either history or future. The gospels are literally Old Testament events recorded in the New Testament. The only thing that reflects the time we are living in recorded as the latter days and reveals the Antichrist mindset of humanity. Which is what 2 Timothy 3 says. We're living in the last days. And then 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. Remember, there are three things evident throughout history and recorded in the Bible. The truth, which is, thus saith the Lord. The lie, which is founded on Satan's four words, which is, yea, hath God said. And then the judgment of God upon all who reject the truth. It's pretty simple once you know the Bible. And we, you know, it's simple to us who've all known and studied under Dan for all this time. But to them, they're as confused as can be. So, and that's it. But it's a fantastic book.
Good stuff.
Yeah. Great. He's got everything packed in just that little book. So let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer, and we'll close with a hymn. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for sealing us, securing us, saving us. We thank you for eternal eternity in heaven with you. We don't deserve it, but we are eternally, we're grateful for it, Lord. And just give us the ability, the courage, the strength to go out and tell those who don't know how to have eternal life. Give them this clear and simple gospel. Tell us what to say and how to get through to that particular person the best we can. And we just thank you for the opportunity to do it, to do that. In Christ's name, amen.
Yeah.
All right. What are we singing today?
You said 351. Oh, 351. Oh, I'm sorry.
351. That was a good engine. 350. Speaking of engines, where's Johnny?
Working side jump.
Side jobs. Working. This is what near the cross. Oh.